Song number 279. He is able to deliver thee. No, no, so me, no, me, so. Tis the grandest theme through the ages roam. Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though my sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme in the earth or main. 'Tis the grandest theme for the mortal strain. 'Tis the grandest theme, tell the world again. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though my sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme, let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, he will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though my sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. Song number 331. 331. Kneel at the cross. No, no, so me, no, me, so. Kneel at the cross, and Christ will meet you there. He intercedes for you. Lift up your voice, leave with him your care, and begin life anew. Kneel at the cross, the
Turn to number 362. 362. Let's sing the first and third verse. Let us sing. Sweet is the song I'm singing today. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Trouble and sorrow have vanished away. I have been redeemed, I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine, Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. Precious indeed is my Savior to me. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Happy in glory, have vanished away. Someday I shall be. I have been redeemed, I'm redeemed. My love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine, Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. I have been redeemed.
Our next song will be in the front cover of your blue book, In Christ Alone. And we'll sing the first, second, and fourth verse.
Let us sing. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. Cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease, my comforter.
From His hand. If you could, please mark in your song books number 604. 604. That will be the song of invitation after these few words and after this song. Brother Alva will be leading that shortly. The song before the lesson, number 679. 679. Jesus, hold my hand. This one I always run out of breath with, so bear with me. Let us sing. As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land, by thy saving power, hear my plea, my feeble plea. Lord, dear Lord, look down on me when I kneel in prayer. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Let me travel in the light divine that I may see the blessed way. Keep me that I may be holy thine and sing redemption song someday. I will be a soldier brave and true, ever firmly take a stand. As I onward go and daily meet the foe, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land, by thy saving power, hear my plea, my feeble plea. Lord, dear Lord, look down on me when I kneel in prayer. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. When I wander through the valley dim toward the setting of the sun, lead me safely to a land of rest if I a crown of life have won. I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach the golden strand. There's no other friend on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land, by thy saving power, hear my plea, my feeble plea. Lord, dear Lord, look down on me when I kneel in prayer. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand.
Thank you all. Now, I don't consider myself a comedian in any kind of way, nor do I even think that I am one. But laughter has scientifically been proven to relieve stress and provide joy. And with all that's going on in the world, with COVID, gas prices, fragile economy, and now the threat of World War III, we all can't help but feel a little bit stressed out right now. So I know we all could use a good laugh, Let's have some good, wholesome fun with the Bible. Not laughing at it, but laughing with God. God, too, has a sense of humor, believe it or not. And he knows in many comical, and he shows it in many comical stories featured in his word. And here are five of my favorites. The Sarcastic Prophet, 1 Kings 18, 17 through 40. Elijah once had a famous showdown with 450 prophets of Baal and determined whose deity was the strongest. Both sides laid a bull on the wood, but put no fire to it. The prophets were to call upon their god, the little G god, for the fire, while Elijah was to call on the name of the Lord. The prophets went first and called Baal from the morning to noon, but nothing happened. So dear sweet Elijah taunted them. In 1 Kings 18:27 it says, "And at noon Elijah mocked them, saying, 'Cry out loud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and must be awakened.' The prophets started crying out loud, even cut themselves until blood spilled out, but to no avail. They continued calling upon Baal until evening, maybe with a few more taunts from Elijah, before finally giving up. Now, I don't condone Elijah's mockery, but it made me laugh, especially when he suggested that Baal was too busy because he was dealing with the other throne. And as if to rub salt in the wound as well, as display the might of God, Elijah poured water over the bull and the wood until it was dripping wet. Then he called upon God, and God sent fire that consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. The moral of this story is that there is no other God besides the God Almighty." Number four, the people who had too many fish. You probably know where I'm going with this. Numbers 11, verses 1 through 20. We won't read it, but I'll pick a few verses from that scripture. After God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, he brought them into the wilderness and provided them with daily manna, a kind of sweet bread similar to that of a honey cracker. But after some time, the Israelites were tired of eating manna day in and day out, which is quite understandable. But rather than ask God for meat, they complained against him. As a result, God became angry, and he gave them what they wanted, but with a twist. He said in Numbers 11, 18 through 19, "Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat, and you shall not eat just one day, or two, or five, or 10, or 20 days, but a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you." God's punishment was quite creative. I only wonder if he was literal or figurative when he said the fish would come out of their nostrils. I only wonder if it was the latter or the preceding one. The moral of the story, do not complain against God and be careful what you ask for because you might just get it. Number three, the deadly sermon. This is one of my favorites. We often hear of people being saved after hearing a sermon, but did you know someone had died from one? Here's the story of Ithacus. Now, he died from the Longevitus Sermonis. On the first day of the week, when we are gathered to break bread, Paul talked with them, intended to depart the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where we all were gathered, and a young man named Ithacus, sitting in the window, sank deep into sleep as Paul talked still longer. And being overcome by sleep, he fell from the third story and was taken up dead. I know, it doesn't sound very funny. Don't worry, there's a happy ending. Paul found Ithacus and brought him back to life. But guess what? He resumed his preaching as if nothing happened. and continued until daybreak. You can't say Paul was committed to his teaching. I think this story is the reason why ministers started doing sermon series. Moral of the story, preachers don't preach for far too long, but congregants just don't fall asleep in church. Number two, the man who ran away naked. I know, this sounds kind of weird. The Gospel of Mark features a particular story that isn't in any other Gospels. Here it is. And a young man followed him, and nothing but a linen cloth. Oh, by the way, this is found in Mark 14:51-52, if you want to read it. And a young man followed him, and nothing but a linen cloth about his body. And they seized him, but he left the linen cloth and ran away naked. The first time I read this verse, I burst out laughing. And every time I imagine the scene in my head, I can't help but laugh. Commentators believe that young man was John Mark. But he didn't use his name out of modesty. If that's the case, it is a bizarre and hilarious way to make a cameo. I can't think of any moral for this story. Perhaps it's to be humble enough to share your most embarrassing story with billions of people. Last but not least, my number one most funniest story in the Bible is the Philistines and the Ark of the Covenant, 1 Samuel 5:1-12. My number one funniest Bible story is that of the Philistines, the Ark of the Covenant. This story, more than any other one, shows God's sense of humor. In 1 Samuel, the Israelites battled with the Philistines and lost. So they decided to take the Ark with them the next day so that its power would protect them. But not only did the Philistines beat the Israelites, but they also captured the Ark of the Covenant. When the Philistines brought the Ark to the temple of Dagon in Ashdod, strange things began to happen. For starters, the statue of Dagon fell face down in front of the ark. In 1 Samuel 5:2-5, it says, "And when the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, behold, Dagon had fallen face down on the ground before the ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and put him back in his place. But when they rose early the next morning, behold, Dagon had fallen face down on the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both his hands were laying cut off on the threshold. Only the trunk of Dagon was left to him. Shortly after, the hand of the Lord was heavy against the people of Ashdod, and he terrified and afflicted them with tumors, both Ashdod and its territory," 1 Samuel 5:6. "The people of Ashdod became so terrified of God that they sent the Ark of the Covenant to Gath. But God also inflicted the city with tumors, so that the people of Gath took it to Ekron. When the Ark arrived at Ekron, the people were so deadly panicked. The people were in deadly panic and planned to send the Ark back to the place so they would get afflicted. The Ark of the Covenant stayed in Philistine country for 7 months, bringing tumors to the people before it returned to Israel. And the moral of this story is that God is not a trophy, nor can he be manipulated." I hope you got a little bit of humor out of these stories like I did. But there is something that's no laughing matter, and that is the nature of your soul. Are you right with God tonight? Because it is no laughing matter if you're not. If we can come help you in any way with this matter, come forward as we stand and sing.